Hanumanları Siti Şi Şi Guru ve Guranga. Well, I can tell you frankly, Prabhus. I may be sitting in front of you physically, but we'll see how the rest goes. I apologize for any inconvenience, any spontaneous exposition of the liquid beauty story. And can we put this somewhere, because put it somewhere nice, wherever its official place is. Thanks, Guruji. And by my calculation, we are on 8th canto, chapter 5, verse. Good, so we're not in a parallel universe. So, but thank you. I'm going to need your help to get through this. So thank you for your patience and for attendance. Krishna Sadamo Pagate Demagana Divisaha Kalana Sadasham Mesha Prana Konadorita Narayana Namaskuchandram Chaivam Narotama Devim Sarasatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudirayat Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Klesha Buri Alpa Sarani Karmani Vipalani Va Dehinam Vishayartanam Na Tatai Varpitam Tvai Klesha Buddhi Alpasarani Karmani vipalani va Dehinam vishayartanam Natatai varpitam tvai Klesha buri apasarani Karmani vipalani va Dehinam vishayartanam Natatai varpitam tvai Klesha buri apasarani Karmani vipalani va Dehinam vishayartanam Natatai varpitam tvai Klesha buddhi apasarani Karani vipalani va Vaishnavis Klesha buddhi apasarani Karmani vipalani va Dehinam Vishayartanam Natatayvar Pitam Tvai Kleshaburi Apasarani Karmani Vipalani Va Dehinam Vishayartanam Natatayvarpitam Tvai Klesha. Hardship. Muri. Very much. Alpa. Very little. Sarani. Good result. Karmani. Activities. Vipalani. Frustrated. Va. Either. Dehinam. Of persons. Visaya. Artanam. Who are eager to enjoy the material world. Na. Not. Tata. Like that. Eva. Indeed. Arpitam. Dedicated. Twayi. Unto your lordship. Karmis are always anxious to accumulate wealth for their sense gratification. But for that purpose, they must work very hard. The results, yet even though they work hard, the results are not satisfying. Indeed, sometimes their work results only in frustration. But devotees who have dedicated their lives to the service of the Lord can achieve substantial results without working very hard. These results exceed the devotee's expectations. Also, you say, karmis are always anxious to accumulate wealth for their sense gratification. But for that purpose, they must work very hard. Yet even though they work hard, the results are not satisfying. Indeed, sometimes their work results only in frustration. But the devotees who've dedicated their lives to the service of the Lord can achieve substantial results without working very hard. Those results exceed the devotees' expectations. We can practically see how the devotees who've dedicated their lives for the service of the Lord and Krishna consciousness movement are getting immense opportunities for the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead without working very hard. The Krishna consciousness movement actually started with only 40 rupees, and yet it has now become more than 40 crores worth of property. And all of this opulence has been achieved within 8 to 10 years. And it's worthy to note that Prabhupada couldn't spend those 40 rupees when he came to America because he couldn't exchange them. And he went back to India with the same 40 rupees, and the taxi cab driver cheated him out of them in Delhi. So really, Prabhupada started this movement with nothing except faith in the holy name and faith in the words of his spiritual master. Prabhupada said, I thought, well, I have some books. That gave him comfort, that he translated the Bhagavatam. The message of the Bhagavatam was there. He was feeling some confidence. And there's the famous story of Tarun Kanti Ghosh, which I'll tell again because you're patient. Tarun Kanti Ghosh was a well-to-do newspaper reporter, newspaper owner, different local languages in Delhi. In Calcutta. And this is early 70s. It's by 1975. And he'd been to see some yogi who, zoop, had made an apple. You know, nothing up the sleeve. Let's give the yogi credit. I mean, 90% of these guys are fraudsters and so many things we can't even mention in the Bhagavatam. So let's give this guy credit. Zoop! Let's say he actually made an apple. And Tarun Kanti Ghosh was very impressed. So he kept going on and on to Prabhupada about this apple, and he made an apple, and there was no apple, and there was an apple, and on and on and on. And Prabhupada was trying to, you know, move the conversation on to something of substance, but the guy wouldn't budge. And Prabhupada, although humility personified, there's so many examples of Prabhupada just being the embodiment of humility. Prabhupada came to Detroit. We heard that they'd bathed his feet in Los Angeles. So Govardhan, our temple president, who I can never repay, such a nice man, went out to the, before the Walmart, there was Kmart, goes out to the Kmart, gets a plastic swimming pool, blue with green ducks, I remember to this day. Prabhupada sat on the Vyasasan, put his both feet out. Prabhupada got the swimming pool. I mean, the devotees got the, Govardhan got the swimming pool. They got ready to bathe Prabhupada's feet. Prabhupada looked and said, oh, socks off. We hadn't thought of that. We're going to bathe Prabhupada's feet with his socks on, you know. Well, that's not a bad idea. Maybe we should take this. I hadn't thought of that one. I mean, Prabhupada put up with so much. We can't even imagine what Prabhupada put up with. So although humility personified to defend, to help this man move on this point, Prabhupada said, I came to America with nothing. Prabhupada sat down on the grass, and one of New York's finest came and said, hey, buddy, off the grass. So Prabhupada wound up sitting in the hot concrete. So Prabhupada sitting in the hot concrete, you know, little pair of cartels chanting Hare Krishna. Prabhupada said, from that chanting, so many devotees came. So many books came. So many deities came. So many festivals came. He said, and so many temples came. And then Prabhupada said, and in every temple there are so many apples. Apple halava, apple chutney, apple, you know. So the guy made one apple. That's very impressive. But opening a chain of temples all over the world, and I mean, you can go anywhere in the world. You can go today to Mongolia. Anyone here know the capital of Mongolia? I used to know it. It's Ulta something, I think. Nobody knows? Ah, very good. You can go, thank you. You got 2 points. Botswana, now you got this one. So you can go there. We have a devotee restaurant there. Everybody else only gets yak burgers, you know. And we're there with a nice Krishna. You can go anywhere in Botswana. You can go anywhere in the world. They're the devotees. You can go to Burma, and we have 3 temples. We have a temple in town, in Rangoon. We have so many different things, right? You know, it's just inconceivable. Okay. So that's 40 rupees. No karmi can expect to see his business improve so swiftly. Besides that, whatever the karmi acquires is temporary and sometimes frustrating. In Krishna consciousness, however, everything is encouraging and improving. The Krishna consciousness movement is not very popular with the karmis because this movement recommends that one refrain from illicit sex, meat eating, gambling, and intoxication. These are restrictions that the karmis very much dislike. Prabhupada says in the Bhagavatam on the altar mentioned in several places, you hear him say in talks, he said, I thought I introduced these 4 regulative principles. They would come and tell me, no, Swami, you go home. They would send Prabhupada back to India. Nonetheless, in the presence of so many enemies, this movement is progressing, going forward without impediments. If the devotees continue to spread this movement, dedicating life and soul to the lotus feet of Krishna, no one will be able to check it. This movement will go forward without limits. Chant Hare Krishna. That's a powerful purport by Srila Prabhupada. Om Agyanata Marandasya Agyana Agyana Salakaya Jakshusha Militangina Tazari Shri Gurave Namaha. Well, I was thinking that as Prabhupada... Well, let's clear up this first about the devotees don't work very hard. It means they don't, what is it, dharmasya hyapavargasya, that the materialist, they work so hard that they actually foam at the mouth like a horse. And Prabhupada takes, there's that wonderful purport, you know, pa, pa, va, my, gives, breaks it all down. That they work hard, it's frustrating, it's full of anxiety, they foam like a horse at the mouth, and ultimately death comes with a coup de grace and finishes everything off. Or you see how hard the bee works. They say, busy like a bee, make a bee line, you know? Bzz, bzz. They don't waste any time. Bees don't hang out. They don't chit-chat. They don't have a pajolfa corner. They're focused. And what are they making? Well, I'm making nice honey, something very tasty. But, you know, the bee workers never taste it. What usually happens is there's the, what do you call it? The beekeeper comes, smokes them all out, pulls out the combs, and they got to go start all over again. So Chanakya Pandit uses that example. He says that life is like that. The living entities work very, very hard, accumulate, you know, stack up or whatever it is, and then death comes and takes everything off. I remember that my father passed away first, and my mother, she was a nice lady, she liked the devotees. She knew that she was coming towards the end, and if she didn't need it, she said, she noticed that people started taking stuff out of the house. You know, like the antique wedding china, the silver tea set, you know, the whatever it was, stuff started going out of the house, you know, because the thing, well, I want to get it before the other dimwit or my aunt or this one or that one gets it, you know. So she had me go around, she put labels on everything. Anything was of any value, she just put a name. You want to just take it. Here's the name on the thing. Just take it, you know. Don't. But at least she wanted some things to go to particular people. So they work hard. They accumulate so much stuff. My father moved to Laguna Beach from Pasadena. And the idea, they were supposed to put in this new freeway. In those days, there was no 405 and no 5 freeway. 5 freeway was going to go in. It was going to be an hour drive. It was going to be fantastic, right? Bought a house by the, you know, Om Jaya Jagadishari, give me a new car and a house by the sea. So he bought his nice house by the sea. But it was, the traffic was so bad. It's better now, believe it or not. The traffic was so bad then, it used to take him sometimes 4 or 5 hours to drive home. He finally just got an apartment downtown Los Angeles. And so he could be by his office. And he would come home on the weekends, practically speaking. He would come home Friday night and then leave Sunday morning, you know, early Sunday morning. Now, the thing is, being a bona fide American family, you know, we had a dog. And my father had this favorite seat where he would sit. And there's a big bay window, and you could see the ocean, the rocks, and the beach. And it was a nice, you know, Prabhupada in Chaitanya Charitamrita, you see the waves of the ocean, and your mind becomes peaceful. So he used to sit there, and he would just read or recuperate from his hard work during the week. But what would happen when this, he had to leave Monday morning, he got back late, like 1 o'clock Friday night. As soon as he left, literally as soon as he sat up, the dog would jump into the seat. And the dog would sit there all week long looking at the view, enjoying, And then my father would come home and tell the dog, hey, Roscoe, out. The dog would have to get out of the thing. So my father joked. He said, you know, I think that I live in Laguna Beach and I work in L.A. He said, actually, I live in L.A. and every now and then I get to visit my house in Laguna. He said, what I really have is the most expensive doghouse in America. Because the dog was having a great time. The dog loved it, you know. So they work very, very hard. But because the material nature, we have the classic example of Hiranyakasipu. You cannot win. Nobody wins in this world. It is a gigantic grinding machine that brings. It's like one of those juicers. What do they have those? What is it? Yeah, like a champion. There's even another one that's big. This thing is giant, man. It's, you know. But it does the same thing. It turns, whatever you put in it, it turns it into juice. Everything in this material world, we're finished. Everything, you have to give it all aside. The body you have to give up, the relatives, the pride. You're lying there. You can't even go to the toilet by yourself. Yeah. Everybody winds up. It's the great equalizer. Narada Muni gives the example. He calls it a machine that's spinning in 12 directions with razors spinning. There's a whole analogy. There's a hole you enter, but you never get out. There's a whole comparison of what this world is. It's a fantastic analogy. And that's what this world is. It just grinds everything up. So, on that happy note, my mind's roaming just a bit. I want to get back to that point, but Prabhupada's making this point of it's frustrating. It's extremely frustrating. But the devotees don't work hard. I wanted to say something about that. Because Actually, the devotees do work hard. We used to, but it's not useless, fruitless labor with nothing at the end. We're not working at A to get B. I'm not working hard. Why are they working hard? They used to have a gas station. I think it was, I forget the name of the company. But their slogan was, service is our business. They still have that slogan? Some gas station. Service is our business. I thought, yeah, as soon as I don't pay you, you're not going to do any more service. Business is your business. Service is not your business. Your business is getting to hold me by my heels and shake as much change out of me as possible, my wallet, my gold fillings, my watch, make sure everything falls out of me and take it. That's your business. Don't have any illusion about the thing. So they're working. If we announced one day, a week, this week, we're not sending any paychecks to any of the workers in Los Angeles. We're sending all the money to, what's the latest place that's suffering like anything? Well, America, but I'm thinking we think we're in good shape. No, but just like crushed Sudan, or we're sending it to, I don't know where, you know, Mali, or we're sending it to wherever it is, Philippines after the latest hurricane, huh? Detroit, yeah. Remind me to say a few Prabhupada stories about Detroit later on. Prabhupada pegged it perfectly. But the point is that if we announced, okay, nobody's going to get paid this week. You're going to send your, you're going to work this week out of kindness and compassion for the suffering world. If you really need your check, you can keep it, you know, for your groceries or whatever you rent. But everything else, no movies, no, what do you call the discretionary spending? Everything that's discretionary spending, we're going to send to this poor country. It's not a bad idea on one end. How many people do you think would show up on work on Monday? How many people would show up if they knew they were going to work all week without a paycheck? They're not going to show up. They're doing A. We had a guy, we had a small house in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And we wanted to knock out this wall and make it into a big temple room. You know, a bigger, you know, big for us was whatever it was, a larger temple room. And so, you know, typical devotees in those days, we found the cheapest guy possible, you know. And three bids looking for the cheapest. And he was so excited. I think we were paying him at the end of the job. It was a two-week job, and we were going to pay him $3,000, something like that. And for the whole thing, and he was going to go to Vegas. He was, you know, the devotees, you know, are talking. He's doing his thing. We're talking. He said, you know, you guys are nuts. He said, you're really missing it. You just don't, you know, where's your life? Where's your juice? Where's your, you know, you're not going to Vegas. I like the name Vegas. Kama Vega, Crota Vega, Manasa Vega. It's a great name, isn't it? It's honest name. Maya's got it right there in big Las Vegas. Oh, okay. Slap me around a bit. So, but the, so he was, you know, just like, we were, you could not, like oil and water, you could not have been in two different worlds. And I remember handing the guy the $3,000 cash. He wanted cash. So we got less if you gave him cash. So I remember paying him in cash, and he was so excited, he threw his car into reverse, boom, burned out of our driveway, boom, smash, right into a brand new Cadillac. And it was just like the movies. This Texan guy got out, big hat, said, oh, you hit my car, son. And I saw him later on. The cost of repairing his car, just so it would function, no cosmetic repairs, and fixing the Cadillac by legal requirement, was $3,004. I mean, Christian just took it all, just took every penny just like that, you know? So, Prabhupada was walking, I think it was in Denver, Prabhupada was walking in the park. Maybe, whatever it was, I mean, Prabhupada may have said it several times. Huh? I think it's Denver. Prabhupada's walking, and he sees psychic powers. Or I'm so readable. Prabhupada's walking in the park, And Prabhupada, I don't know the Bengali, but it's the snake, yeah. The mouse builds the hole, snake comes, eats the mouse, and lives in the hole. So without any work and a little snack on the side, he gets a free home, you know? So some of these parks are quite beautiful, you know, but they don't ever enjoy the parks. It's paid for with public taxes. Prabhupada gives that wonderful purport. Now it's edited, and the editing is good, improved. Prabhupada wanted the editing, put it in proper English. But in the old version, Prabhupada used to talk about Dwarka. He said, with plenty of parks and fountains for the wife and kiddies. And he spells it K-I-D-D-I-E-S, you know. But a park is supposed to do this. Make some nice, the city is supposed to make a nice place. Make some parks and this and that. So they work hard. They build the park, but they have to work hard. So they're sleeping all morning. Who's out in the park? And the Prabhupada said that you should take Ayurvedic massage in the sun. Prabhupada said in the morning. He said, I was here, right here in L.A. Prabhupada said, morning sun is rejuvenating. Afternoon sun is draining. So who's out in the early fresh breeze and the nice sun? Who's walking in the parks? Devotees are walking in the park, chanting japa, having a great time. They're all sound asleep. We used to, I was a brahmachari, and then later on a grihastha in Detroit. We used to try to stay as late as possible. Our sankirtan in those days was we would chant downtown, whatever it was, in front of the big department store, and then one group of devotees would chant, and the other group of devotees would distribute books. We were all dressed like this. We did hardly anything, but we were trying, you know. So we're chanting downtown, and we try to stay as late as possible, and get back in time for the evening arti, 7 o'clock arti. So we get back on the bus around 6 o'clock, and one of the stops on the way back to the temple was the Hamtramck. What was it called? It was a Una Royal tire factory. You know, Prabhupada describes how factory is another name for hell. This place, it was just belching out black smoke. And these people would come out. I mean, they would have goggles on, you know, so you could see the white eye. They look like raccoons. You'd see the white eye and the black and everything. And these, you know, nasty work clothes. And these guys had just been doing horrible ugra karma. And right across the street, there were the houses of prostitution. There was the paycheck loan place. There were the bars. I mean, he just sucked the money right out of these guys immediately. They were just, it was a horrible, horrible place. You know, it was just another name for hell, Prabhupada called it. So we get on the bus, and the devotees said, we're, you know, the devotees, we got up, morning program, and of course we had a breakfast of baked potatoes, peanuts and raisin, khichdi. Breadsticks that were, you could break a window with them, and 4 or 5 pieces of halava, and a few pieces of burfi and sandesh. You know, there'd be those breakfasts that you just like, oh my God. You take 4 hours for it to even digest and your eyes to focus. You were so you know, we were young devotees. Excuse me. Anyway, we get back on the bus. We get on the bus. We'd stop at this place. And you'd see these, they were many more Polish. And these big guys, and they would pass out on the bus. Just, they were exhausted. These big, big guys working in the Uniroyal tire factory. And you'd have, comparatively speaking, a skinny little sweet brahmachari or a grihasta. The devotees would fall asleep too. And the devotees would like usually snuggle up to these big guys. And then you'd see this big, big hulk of a guy. And you'd see a little skinny little devotee with his head on his shoulder. They'd shake him off, and the devotee would wake up. And then, boom. You know, and after all, they'd just give up. You have this devotee out cold. We would fall asleep. We would be so out of it that the bus driver learned. Because we would miss our stop. And he would park the bus and say, hey, Jefferson and Seminole, Krishnas, wake up. We don't,
oh, okay. Because otherwise he'd go to the end of the route. He'd be stuck with us. You know, what's he going to do? He's got to come back. So, we work hard. But we're not working to get a paycheck hoping. I was in Bangladesh. And I met one student. I said, we're having a night with Gaur Purnim Festival or something. I said, we're having a great festival. Come to the temple night tonight. The guy said, no, I'm working hard. I won't go through the whole thing. But he couldn't come because he had a test. Why? Because he wanted to get a good grade. Why? Because he wanted to, graduate with honors. Why? Because he wanted to get into a master's program. Why? So he could get to a PhD program in America. Why? So he could ultimately get a good job. Why? So he could work his way up the corporate ladder. Why? So he could make a bunch of money. Why? So he could get a big, beautiful wife and a big, beautiful, house and a big, beautiful, big screen TV. Why? All these different intermediate steps. So many different intermediate steps. And the next one is going to provide the tick, 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 tick. And my mother had so many medicines. She had high blood pressure. They gave her something else that thinned her blood. Well, that caused this problem. She got the 5 or 6 medicines. She said, I got to take all these pills for one symptom. It's depressing. Doctor said, oh, we got a pill for that, for depression, She said, wait, that's not what it's all about, So this guy was going through all these intermediate steps to become happy. The devotees, someone, I forget who was giving class, made a really nice point. At least I never really thought about it that much. Or, the way they said it was got through my thick head. We like to serve Krishna. I mean, devotees, you're saintly people. Devotees see a nice mango in the grocery store. Mango season starts. You think, oh, man, nice mango for Krishna. First, those Kent mangoes or whatever, Alfonso mangoes, give me a nice mango and bring it over to the temple. Or, whatever it is. Look at the craftsmen that went in, the craftsmanship that went into this building. And it frankly maintains, Prabhupada did call this his world headquarters. And when they had Bombay, somebody said, all right, his Western world headquarters. And to see this, I don't want to embarrass Naikatma, but, the craftsmanship that goes into maintaining this place, that's love. And when the devotees go out, how to distribute books, they're thinking all night, all day long, how to crack these people's minds open, and where's a good place, and what to say, and how. That love that we feel in the act itself, we like to serve Krishna. At the end of a big festival, the end of the Rath Yatra, everybody's got to sleep for a week. I don't even think that could take all the rentals back, But that pleasure that comes from serving Krishna. Well, guess what? More than we can even imagine, Krishna feels that towards us. He loves to serve his devotees. He lives. What is it? Prithanaya sadhanam? Vanasya chaduskutam? Whatever. There's different reasons why Krishna comes. Why does Krishna come to this world? What's the stock answer? And Krishna gives it in Gita, so it's okay. What's the answer? Two things. Three things, you're right. Save the devotees. But Prabhupada said, but actually, for killing the demons, what's it take? Just one hurricane, one. Just shake the rug a little bit. And the whole thing's finished, it doesn't take much. But Krishna doesn't need to come to kill the demons. Time will take care of them anyway. And for the devotees know they're saved. We cannot imitate. Prabhupada's in Calcutta. He's having that nice khichdi. And that guy's come up from the Indian National Army. He's come up through Burma. It's a whole story. Prabhupada tells the story how India was actually in. We're off the track, and we're going to end in a couple minutes. But it's worth noting. I'm thinking the three things I want to say, and I want to make sure I have enough time. But because I started. Prabhupada says that Gandhi, they were just laughing at. It's an in-house, it's not an in-house audience. Well, Hare Krishna. Add a few friends to my list. Prabhupada said actually the British were just laughing at Gandhi. He was very handy to them. They used him as a safety valve. He was very handy to them. They'd lock him up. Everybody'd focus on Gandhi. They'd get all stirred up, And they'd let him out, and they'd, you know, and lock him up. He wasn't having any impact on the British at all. Prabhupada says, what made the British leave India? They were incredulous. They said to Gandhi, you think we're just going to walk? India was the jewel in the crown. They got all their men for their army, and they got all their resources from India. It's a tiny little island. Tagore said that they're driving so fast, the island is so small, I'm amazed they don't fall off the edge. Prabhupada saw the Thames River. He said, it's a stream. You know, he's seeing the Ganga and the Jamuna, and, you know, what is this? You know, this, it's a tributary of a tributary of a tributary of a tributary. There's all, you know, Sheffield, you know, the cotton mills and the mine, you know, everything. Okay. So, where were we going with that? But, Nataji made a deal with the Japanese army. We'll surrender to you. You stalk us, and we'll go back and fight the British and get the British out of India. That will help you tie up the British. It'll help you win the war, and you'll give us independence. That was the deal they made. Secret deal. And when the British, when the Japanese started marching down from China all the way through the Malay Peninsula, people couldn't believe, how did they get to Singapore so fast? Which control of the steam lanes? I don't want to waste your time with history. Shipping lanes? How did they get there so fast? The Indian officers and the Indian soldiers all just, it was a secret thing, and they all just surrendered. And the British sent them all to Burma, and they were trained in Burma, and they were bombing bombing Calcutta. India got independence because the British realized, we've lost the Indian army, there's no way we can control this place. Now, okay, that's my opinion, I'm saying it, Prabhupada says it. The British archives opened up a few years ago. Anybody contacts me, I'll send you the article from the New Yorker magazine. It's from the British military archives. And they tell the exact, it's on the Indian army, and they tell the exact same story. That the, and they've got all the cables back and forth between the viceroy and all the war minister and all that stuff. They say no. So the Prabhupada was, they were bombing Calcutta. Everyone's running for the bomb shelters. Prabhupada's thinking, well, this Khichdi is so nice, and we just offered it to Krishna. We've got Puri, so Prabhupada just took his lunch. If Krishna wants to kill me, Krishna wants, you know, Abhay Charan. Krishna wants to save me, Krishna will save me. Krishna wants to kill me, Krishna will kill me. Although Prabhupada said devotees are fearless, they're not fools. He said we should wear our seatbelts. But the simple point I wanted to make is that as we feel that little bit of taste, Krishna feels the same for us. More than we can even imagine. He likes to serve his devotees. Now, I don't know about you, but my response is, but I offered so many prayers. Oh, how come my health didn't get better? And how about, why didn't I get that beautiful wife? And come on, Krishna, step it up. Get with the program. You know? Just give me the lottery numbers. Prabhupada says on one tape, if only I had $3 million, I could serve Krishna so nicely. Prabhupada says it right on the tape, you know? So, maybe he's not listening. I got to find a new delivery system. Like, is it the Buddhists? Is it the Tibetans? If they burn the flags and the ashes, if the ashes go up, then it's considered that your prayer went to heaven. If the ashes blow down, then, well, you try it again. You know, wait for a favorable breeze, you know? So we all offer prayers, and most of those prayers we don't offer out loud. You know, like I was a kid, I wrote a letter to Santa Claus. It was one of my eye-opener experiences, you know, the false heroes of the, I wrote a letter to Santa Claus, all the things I wanted, you know, lusty little kid, everything I wanted for Christmas. And my father said, oh, he'll definitely mail it. We addressed it North Pole, you know, number one North Pole, you know. I figured, how many guys with a red beard, now, if they get to the North Pole, they're going to get it to Santa. I had a little confidence, okay, it's going to make it, you know. And then about 3 weeks later, in another coat of my father said, can you get my keys or something? I went to get that. Oh, yeah, I was a little boy. I couldn't have been more than 4 or 5 years. 4 years old at the most. I remember reaching, looking for the keys or some candy. Well, I don't know what I was doing, you know. And I found the note to Santa. I said, hey, wait a minute. You know, we put it in the mailbox. It was supposed to go to Santa Claus, have my father get it. Wait a minute. So maybe it's not Santa. So what delivery system? We don't even say these things out loud. And we have faith that Krishna can hear us. So let's, like I say, connect the dots. Okay, we're offering prayers. We want so many things. First off, we're not getting what we pray for always. Well, what's the wrong delivery system? Well, I'm saying it's quietly, softly to myself. But Krishna hears prayers. He's not even Bhava Grihi Janardhanam. He knows what's in everyone's heart. So that must not be the problem. What's the issue? Is Krishna was busy? You know, I got a call back when he's not on, maybe put my prayer on hold in that time. Or God of the gaps, he's doing the best he can, but, he can't do everything. I mean, come on, man. Can't do everything. A couple prayers slip through the cracks. Give him a break. But if he's omnipotent, well, then what? He's capricious. He's cruel. He's a wrathful, vengeful God, as they describe in the Old Testament. They're always smiting and smoting and smitten. Is there a path? I don't know. I think it's only smite, to smote, and to be smitten. I don't know, with a thunderbolt. But he's always, burning this place. All right. Okay, he's a mean guy. Or he's kind, but couldn't do this. So what is it? What if Krishna is all-merciful, if he heard our prayers, if he's all-powerful, and if he loves us, he wants to serve us more than we want to even serve him, what does it mean? Maybe we were asking for something stupid. What is it? I don't understand. But what is it? What do they say? I raised two kids, and if you meet them, they're nice kids, actually. They put up with a lot. But, what are kids? They're always saying, like, I'm watching these kids with the skateboard over here, because I couldn't get up for a while. I was lying down over here. And in the evening, they need a place to hang out. They're a kid, but it makes so much racket. But what can they do? At least they go to the end of the street, and they're kids. They want to hang out. And they're doing the same stupid thing all over again, over and again. It's the same. Yeah, the sound was like, it was like the same sound. You know the sound. You can hear the, whatever, click, 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 you know. And then the crowd gets smaller because they always get banged up. And I was thinking, soft body tissue, hard concrete. Hey, let's add velocity. What could go wrong in this picture, So when I raised my kids, they were always saying, hey, watch this. What could go wrong? So if you look at it, certainly I can speak for myself. I have wanted so many foolish, stupid things in my life. And I have settled for the small potatoes. You know, like in those movies, I'm sorry to go, because my brain's not working so well. They have a game show. They still have game shows. And behind this curtain is this, behind this curtain is this. And, and they pick this curtain based on some hints. And they pull open the curtain and it's a box of cornflakes. And they go, what you could have gotten. And they get the brand new Cadillac or the trip to Hawaii. You think, We have the human form of life. Everything is there. We have what's the favorable breezes, a good captain, expert chart. Everything's described in the Bhagavatam. We have the most valuable. I can tell you frankly, the devotees here took better care of me than my own family. And I'm saying, hey, wait a minute. That's because this is my family. I'm a sannyasi. You couldn't ask for, people were genuinely concerned. I had 1,000 different ideas on what I should do. But the point is, we have Sadhu Sangha. We have beautiful Rukmini Dwarkadish. Gornitai. I remember Vishwanjana used to teach us, he used to go yoga classes when yoga was first starting. This is 1970. And he said, I'm going to teach you a yoga asana. They'd all get very, because we'd show up and dress like this, Madanga, whoa, what's this, And he'd say, everyone stand up. Everybody'd stand up. He'd say, put your hands over your head. They'd all put their hands over their head. And they'd say, can I do it with you? Stand up, Prabhu. Yes, you. Yeah, don't look behind you. Okay, stand up. Put your hands up. Okay, put your right foot forward. Right foot forward. Put your right foot back. Put your left foot forward. Left foot back. Okay, let's try it with sound. Left foot forward. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. He'd get the whole thing. You're done. Thank you, Prabhu. He'd get the whole yoga class chanting and dancing, you know? So, I mean, we have everything. There's no unemployment problem. There's sufficient jagais and madais populating the universe. So it's, I mean, we have everything you could possibly ask for. And we're not doing A to get B. You engage in devotional service. Prabhupada said it's like a sugar tree. It evidently is a tree in India. I've got to get the Latin name. There's a tree in India. The bark, the twigs, the leaves, everything is sweet. So we should stop for a moment. We're almost done. I'll take that as a sign. We should stop. We should stop for a moment and consider our immense good fortune. And the only reason we're not happy is because we're trying to put a square peg into a round hole. This world is a giant machine turning everything to dust. And we're trying to fight against the machine to keep the whole thing going. If we just engage in Krishna service, back home, back to God. Okay, we can end there. Thank you for sitting so patiently, Prabhu. I'm like a tube of toothpaste, and all the paste is out, Prabhu. That's the end of the prana. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Thank you for sitting so patiently. But I should say one last thing on behalf of the devotees, because we did have our GBC meetings here, you know. And these are devotees that work hard all over the world, and, you know, and they were so appreciative of the nice festival and the deity worship and the prasadam. So, and that's not a one-man show. I mean, no doubt we have our fearless leader, Swavas Prabhu, but it's all the devotees combined together. So thank you for this beautiful temple and the nice festivals and serving the Vaishnavas and distributing all those books. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Thank you.